It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Hello and welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. Thank you for joining us on this, having survived the first 9 months of the Trump presidency, or as the sign in the White House puts it, number of days without nuclear war, 270. When people talk about the Trump administration, one of the things you still hear all the time is, well, we've got one thing going for us. He is so incompetent, and the Republicans are so incompetent, that they're really not getting anything done. We addressed that point at length in a show many weeks ago to argue that they are getting a lot done, or undone. They're just getting it done at levels at which it's not being brought to the attention of the American public. What Congress cannot do, Trump appointments and Trump administration can do. And never have we been so reminded of the damage that could be done beneath the radar screen as we have been this week. And this gives us an opportunity to talk about Trump appointments and how they're helping to destroy America and, to be fair, the world. So let's start with our esteemed Energy Secretary, Rick Perry. You know, the guy who put the glasses on to appear smarter than he is. The guy who wanted to get rid of the energy agency, Department of Energy, until he found out, A, that he would be running it, and B, what it did. Well, Rick Perry, turns out, wants to subsidize coal. And this was seconded by Trump. And it is Trump announced policy to subsidize coal. But wait a minute, that's unfair. As we've pointed out at length in the show, we've been subsidizing coal for the entirety of coal. They want to subsidize it more. We talked about not building a bridge to the 21st century, but a ladder back to maybe the 15th century. And this is what we're doing here. While the rest of the world is investing in clean technologies, in energy for the future, sustainable, renewable energy, solar, wind, etc., we are going back to the future. Way, way back to the future. Why would we support an industry that is destroying the planet and on its way out in any event, being replaced by industries that are doing it better and cheaper? A lot of that has to do with A, promises, B, the way things work in America. We don't think long term. We think short term. Especially this administration thinks short term, as in, how much can I steal over the next few months? Forget about the shape of the country in the future. IBGYBG. We talked on a previous show. That was an acronym that was being bandied about the financial industry while they were selling products that they knew were going to destroy the world's economy. IBGYBG, standing for I'll be gone, you'll be gone. Yes, this is a piece of shit and it's going to blow up in somebody's face, but we'll have already gotten our bonuses and we'll have moved on. Well, here we see IBGYBG, presidential administration version. IBGYBG, we're going to destroy the planet? Well, Trump will no longer be the president at that point. Rick Perry will no longer be the energy secretary. But in the meantime, there's a lot of money to be stolen from the coal industry. President Obama, who had policy goals and ideas, subsidized nascent industries, such as solar and wind. This actually makes economic sense, because an industry like solar, investments in solar are for the long term. They are good, economically efficient, long-term thinking. The problem is the people who would be investing in solar, in America, we want it now. Where's my profit now? I don't want to wait 15, 20 years to be profiting mightily off of my solar investments. I want money now. And so new industries may need to be supported to help get them off the ground to compete with old industries, in part because old industries get more from our government, certainly our current government, because they can offer more. One problem with new industries, industries of the future, is they are not yet prime. They're not yet rich. The coal industry has a lot of money. They can buy politicians. They can buy the Trump administration. They can take your money and your health for personal profit. Then we've got drug czar Tom Marino. This is the guy whose job it is primarily to address the opioid crisis in America. Why would some of us be skeptical? Well, what did Tom Marino do before drug czar? As congressman in Pennsylvania, he was basically a paid lobbyist for big pharma, big pharmaceutical companies. And he, in fact, was the lead sponsor of a bill, which I expect was written by Big Pharma, to limit the FDA's ability to limit the dissemination of opioids by big pharmaceutical companies that were making a lot of money by fueling the opioid crisis. Who cares about sick and dead Americans when there's money to be made? As John Le Carré so aptly described the pharmaceutical industry, multi-billion dollar, multinational corporations who view the exploitation of the world's sick and dying as a sacred duty to their shareholders. And now we have their lackey, Tom Marino, in charge of fixing the opioid problem. Maybe the first thing we need to do to address the opioid problem is get everybody hooked on heroin. Because the pharmaceutical companies can't make a profit off of heroin, it's illegal. And if the problem is something that somebody's not enriching themselves on, maybe we'll actually do something to fix it. Anybody out there trust that our drug czar has the interests of devastated Americans at heart and not the interests of his corporate benefactors? And now we have a recent nomination to the EPA to run its division of chemical safety and chemical regulation, Michael Duerson. Here's the problem with him. He's an industry lobbyist who spent his life arguing and fighting chemical regulation. The New York Times editorial on the subject put it quite succinctly. President Trump has made a habit of filling important jobs with people dedicated to undermining the laws they're supposed to administer while pampering the industries they're supposed to regulate. Let's be clear what's going to go on. We are putting the interest of chemical companies ahead of the interests of Americans. We will be rolling back safety regulations. What is the result? Children will get sick. Children will die. But here's the good news, parents. Your children almost certainly won't die right away. It'll take a long time for them to die. They will get sick over a number of years from these chemicals that they're now exposed to legally. They will get sick over a number of years, and then they will die. And guess who won't be in charge of the EPA chemicals at that point? Guess who won't get the blame for it? Michael Duerson. Guess who won't be president and who won't get the blame for your dead family members? President Donald J. Trump. This is the choices we're making, America. You like this, Trump voters? Is this what you voted for when you said drain the swamp? More dead Americans so that some corporate scumbag can profit more? Is that what you were buying into, you morons? Because that's what you've got. I know the 38 and 39% of you who watch Fox News will never know that. But it's true. And this is what you've inflicted on the rest of us. But forgive us for not speaking respectfully and nicely to you. You know, I didn't even want to spend time talking about Donald Trump's reaction to the death of U.S. soldier LaDavid Johnson and the way he spoke to his widow. But it's relevant in this discussion. No matter how informed you are not going to get this information about what's happening in our federal regulatory agencies. Not many of you out there, or not enough of you out there, are reading The Nation magazine or Public Citizen, where you might be reading about some of this stuff. You should be, by the way, and you should be paying for subscriptions to support their journalism and reading it to get informed. But not many people will. So we are reliant upon people in government who have empathy, caring, and a sense of interest in the well-being of other people on the planet to make good decisions for us. Good luck with that one right now. We have President can't understand the whole concept of empathy, who says to a widow who just lost her husband in Niger, says, well, he knew what he was getting into. And as she points out, can't even muster the decency or the empathy to remember the guy's name. Oh, I know we heard all kinds of things about Barack Obama and how he didn't respect America enough. Now we're hearing about football players who kneel during the national anthem. Because we're too fucking stupid to understand what real patriotism is all about. President Obama had empathy. He could call up a widow and provide some comfort. Not this piece of trash. But I'm sure Fox News is going to be all over this one, like they were all over everything that Obama did. And how did Trump respond to his disgraceful behavior? Well, just the way we could expect. He lied. It wasn't bad enough that he insulted this widow. He then had to lie about what happened. And at first, the congresswoman who reported what he said, well, Trump could just say, she's lying, not true, fake news. But now, Mr. Johnson's mother has come out and said, I was party to that conversation, and that's what the president said. Not that there would have been any question in a battle between who's telling the truth involving Donald Trump and anybody as to who is telling the truth. Just lie your way out of it and wait for Fox News to clean up the mess. Blame Obama. Trump came out and said, well, this is all about Obama. Obama didn't respect service members. Also, just a blatant lie, but that's okay, because you're very principled. Got to stand up for the national anthem supporters. I'm sure we'll really be with you on this one. So this gives me an opportunity, the death of an American soldier, to start a new segment that we'd like to do periodically on this show called Brave and Principled Republican Leadership, where we are going to share examples of Republicans in Congress, in leadership, putting our country, our decency, their role in making a better America ahead of their partisan politics. We are going to cite those Republicans who put America ahead of party. Okay, we hope you've enjoyed our first edition of Brave and Principled Republican Leadership Watch. We hope to have further episodes for you, maybe even some longer ones, in the future. Speaking of killing people and destroying America, Obamacare. Yep, still in the news. Donald Trump is abiding by one promise, which is to destroy Obamacare and destroy the lives of millions of Americans. Go Trump! He is ending, announced that he will be ending subsidies to insurance companies to help them pay for poor people. He will be allowing associated plans, which do not comply with the minimum requirements of health care coverage under Obamacare. Both of these things will help destroy the system. It will bifurcate the system. Healthy people will opt out, will opt into crappy little plans where they can play Russian roulette again with their lives. So your brothers and sisters can once again play Russian roulette by getting a health care plan that won't actually cover them if they get sick, but thus save money. And thus make insurance unaffordable for those who actually might need insurance. But now, within the last day or two, it turns out that a bipartisan effort to fix Obamacare rather than destroy it has come out in complete opposition to the President of the United States and said, wait a minute, we've got a plan that we're going to try to put through the Senate and Congress to actually fix some of the problems with subsidies to insurance companies to cover poor people, not to eliminate them. We're going to try to make the system work better. To which the President of the United States said, oh, good idea. I totally agree. That's why this is 180 degrees opposite of what I just said. Because I don't understand any of this shit anyway. Wait, did I just say the president agreed to that? I'm sorry, late breaking news. That was so half hour ago. Now the president, not so keen on the bipartisan plan. Apparently somebody has let him know that he was actually against it. Yeah, that's actually against your plan. Sorry. Didn't mean to share that with you. Oops, I'm against it now. In an hour? Who knows? Okay, it also wasn't a very good week if you were in international agreement. The Iran agreement. President 4-year-old has said he is not going to recertify the Iran agreement. But wait, everybody, we're told it's not a big deal. It's just Trump being a fucking asshole. Nothing to worry about because Congress has to actually add sanctions or renew the sanctions in order to scuttle the deal. Trump saying he's decertifying doesn't do anything without the help of Congress. So we're actually in the position of rooting for Congress to save us. Oh, good. We can count on Congress again. Getting rid of this agreement is ridiculous. But Donald Trump talked the game, so he has to keep talking the game to idiots. Everyone is against the repeal of the agreement, including the allies who have also signed on to the agreement and whose help will be needed for any sanctions to still be enforced. In other words, Trump's bluff is being called by our own allies. What was the possibility in lieu of the nuclear agreement, which has ended Iran's nuclear program? We talked at length about this last week. Well, news has just come out that Israel was preparing to invade Iran before this happened, to start a war, which might yet have turned into World War III. And here's the reason. Israel would have been starting a war that Israel couldn't finish. Israel would have been starting a war where they would have turned to the United States and said, now you need to join. We need you. And the United States would have had to finish the war that Israel started. Instead, we ended Israel's nuclear program. Israel's recent conservative leader, Ehud Barak, has come out and said, of course it was a good agreement. One of its military heads said, this was a game changer, as a good thing. And at this point, Trump has ceded the intellectual high ground to Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, who basically responded to Trump's rants by saying, he's a fucking idiot. We don't listen to what the child has to say. If Republicans in Congress impose sanctions, then all bets are off. And of course, Trump has been railing about NAFTA. And in a way, and please be seated for this one, you're not going to hear this very often, Trump is actually kind of right on this one. That's right, Trump is kind of right on part of NAFTA. There is a part of NAFTA, NAFTA's Chapter 11, which I've been talking about in class for a very long time, which basically puts the interests of corporations, international corporations, over the interests of government to regulate them, which is a recipe for the destruction of civilization. Since corporations care about nothing but their own profit and have no interest in saving the planet, except as how that might impede profits, and it is the goal of government, antithetically, to promote the interests and the welfare of the common man. In fact, if, as happened, the state of California decides to ban a gasoline additive that's shown to harm children, they could be sued by gasoline companies that say, we would have been making billions of dollars in profits by killing your children. And since you're not letting us kill your children, you have to pay us not to kill your children. If that sounds like extortion, that's kind of what it is. And this should have been gotten rid of a long time ago. And Trump actually says we should get rid of that. Unfortunately, also with the positive provisions of the bill, and like most things, when push comes to shove and Trump realizes what's going on, how many of you think he's going to stand firm on this one? So we have our tax bill, and here's some more good news. And again, I'm willing to admit error when I make one. That's the kind of big man that I am. And it turns out that the president's top economist and his Council of Economic Advisors has said that the Trump and Republican tax plan will benefit workers to the tune of thousands of dollars a year. Take that, you liberals. Also in the news, President Trump's penis has come out and announced that it is huge, real huge. President Trump's penis announcing, I'm huge. In other words, Trump's top economist saying something that is a blatant lie shouldn't surprise anybody. And the question really here is, why does the media still report anything that's said by anyone in the Trump administration? They're all liars. So all the economists have come out and said, that's ridiculous. But that's okay, Fox News is still in there plugging away. The tax plan, just by eliminating the estate taxes we talked about last week, on estates worth more than $11 million. Oh, those small businesses, the three around America that are affected by the estate tax. Not if you listen to Fox News. Can't call it the estate tax. You call it the death tax. Can you believe those liberals want to tax death? Unbelievable. They're so stupid. They'll tax anything. Tremendous. They've changed the estate tax to the death tax, so the fucking morons actually think it's a good idea to get rid of it. But good news, Trump is learning a little bit about his tax plan. It turns out he just found out that his tax plan ends the deduction for state and local taxes. I didn't mean that. Oh no, we're going to take that one back. But don't worry, we're going to announce all the middle class savings stuff later on. After we pass the bill, we'll fill in all the blanks that help the middle class later. In the meantime, let's just pass all the provisions that help the billionaires. Okay, voting has been in the news, in part because of the DEFCON hacking conference, where they took a look at our voting machines being used across America to determine whether they could be hacked. And it turns out, in a surprise to nobody, that almost every one of our voting machines can be hacked in less time than it takes to order a pizza from Domino's. Not get the pizza, by the way, order the pizza from Domino's. That many of our voting machines can be hacked quicker than one can get pizza from a vending machine. That's how much faith we should have in our voting machines and our voting system. Last week, we talked a little bit about Gil v. Whitford, the Supreme Court case considering gerrymandering. The Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, is considering on a fundamental basis whether we should have any democracy at all in America. That's what we're talking about. We've talked about the fact that the presidency is obviously not a democracy. More on that in a moment. The Senate is obviously not a democracy. The one part of our federal government that was supposed to be a democracy, and by the way, our state is worse, states are worse with gerrymandering generally, was the House of Representatives. We've talked about the fact that there's no democracy in the House of Representatives because there are almost no races that are actually contested. Apparently, there will be one contested congressional election in the entire state of Texas. So the Supreme Court fundamentally is deciding whether democracy, whether the United States Constitution in any way, shape, or form protects democracy. What's ironic here is that right now, three of the justices of the United States Supreme Court who will be making this determination are only on the United States Supreme Court because of our lack of democracy. Because the president who nominated them to the United States Supreme Court ascended to the presidency after losing the popular vote for president of the United States. Would it be any wonder if Neil Gorsuch, Chief Justice Roberts, or Samuel Alito aren't big fans of democracy? They'd still be putting out papers and working for some right-wing conservative piece of shit lobbying group if it wasn't for our lack of democracy. You should be contacting your congressmen, your senators, everyone you know to fight against this. And then you should be voting them out of office. Because it is very possible that in 3 years, five of the nine United States Supreme Court justices will have been appointed by a president that a majority of this country explicitly rejected. And we will be stuck with them for the rest of my lifetime. Before we leave, I want to quickly talk about Puerto Rico. It hasn't left the news. It hasn't gotten better. It's mostly left the front pages. But I want to talk specifically again about Donald Trump and the concept of Republican dog whistles. In case you missed Donald Trump's criticisms of Puerto Rico, his doctored videos making it look like Puerto Ricans are not helping themselves, his indications that Puerto Ricans are lazy and just want people to come in and save them, that's what we've referred to as dog whistle politics. That's pretty blatantly racist. It's stemming from the idea that brown-skinned people are lazy. You know those brown-skinned people. And I suppose the good news here is that at least the president has graduated to typical Republican dog whistles and isn't actually being blatantly racist and saying, you know, those brown-skinned people, they're lazy and they're irresponsible. They're always looking for handouts. So maybe there's been some improvement there. But understand that that's what's happening. This is a message to the base. You know those brown people. We know those brown people. We got your back, white supremacists. Now we'll be able to watch for a few weeks while the vulture capitalists go in and destroy Puerto Rico. And quite quickly before we leave, Harvey Weinstein. We have to mention Harvey Weinstein. I hate to do it because as a progressive voice, we have been told by Democrats and the progressive media that we are not to talk about Harvey Weinstein. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Ooh, I got mixed up. That was my cover letter for Fox News. Okay. What I meant to say about Harvey Weinstein, because that is the Fox News talking point, is that this story was broken by bastions of the so-called liberal media, the New York Times and the New Yorker. But that doesn't stop them from saying it's a liberal cover-up. Why is there no liberal cover-up? Because the fact is, on the left, we're not into cults. We don't put personality ahead of policies. We have enough brains to understand what a policy is and how it matters. And what the story of Harvey Weinstein indicates, yes, some people who give to Democrats are also assholes. We never denied that. But what it really indicates, and what we really should be talking about, is not his donations, but his power. How we got to this point. the lessons of giving people tremendous power that is unchecked, which we are busy doing even more of in this country. People having too much wealth and power leads to bad behavior. We should be talking about what it is still like to be a woman in America and not be playing on the same playing field as Americans. As men. We should understand the impediments that women have to succeeding. And we should do something about it. And we should look at NFL football players protesting how corrupted power, unchecked power in America has led to harm and death for many of the powerless, particularly those of color. That's what we should be talking about. Those are the lessons of Harvey Weinstein. Just kidding. Let's talk about not kneeling during the national anthem and how standing up makes you a real patriot. That's our show for this week. We hope you enjoyed. We hope you will come back next week and join us. If you like looking forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean at podbean.com, B-E-A-N. And I have started to listen to this show on Podbean, so I've started to listen to a lot of stuff on Podbean, and I really like the platform. If you love what you heard, like us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Tell your friends, spread the word, Forward Nation Radio. See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.